This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Buffoon. A certain magic will always linger with the very name. It speaks of courage and fervor in the world's most brutal game. 55, worn by Doug Buffoon. A Chicago Bear through and through. He demanded excellence of himself and anyone wearing navy blue.
You tell me what's going on. This is moronic. We're going to get our ass whipped all the way down the line. I want somebody to get kicked in the and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game. I'm playing right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my ass whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
Football fans, this is Buffoon 55. The John Buffoon Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Buffoon 55, the fastest-paced 30-minute Chicago Bears football podcast available in the world. I am your host, John Buffoon. It's Hibernation Week, Bears fans. Your team has an early season bye, but a lot can happen within the division while the Bears are off. With me, as always, is my trusty producer and sidekick, Bears girl, BG. How about that beatdown by the Bears last week? It was a thing of beauty, and I'm still on an adrenaline high. I know you wore your Mac jersey all day, and you said you were going to sleep in it. Have you taken it off since the reality of the Bears still being a number one has sunk in?
Well, I did sleep in it only because I crashed after a really long day, but I took it off. It's washed. I wore my vintage Ditka Victory Monday sweater, and I'm actually ready for some football. I don't really want this bye, but beat it and we'll take it.
All right, all right. It's a good day to be a Bears fan. Joining us tonight, no stranger to our listeners, he is the lead NFL draft analyst at Bears Barroom. His passion is scouting. He is one half of the dynamic duo that brings you Bears on tap after each and every game. You know him as the man, Danny Shimon. Danny, thanks for being here tonight with us as we head into the bye week. How are you feeling after that epic win on Sunday afternoon?
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Man, it feels great. Bears are in first place, 3-1 on top of the division. Things are looking bright, and the young guys are getting better. The team's finally gelling. This is a good time to be a Bears fan.
Absolutely. Now, what I want to do tonight is I want to take a look at how these Bears have played versus your initial thoughts coming into the season and how you expect them to look coming out of the bye. You ready for this? Because I'm fired up.
Let's do it.
All right, Danny, you said on several occasions on our sister shows that you felt this Bears defense would carry the team while the offense learned to gel, and well, you didn't quite expect to see that happen until after the first 4 weeks. What do you think sped up that gelling process of the team to produce that performance we all saw on Sunday?
Well, first of all, it doesn't hurt that they're playing the Buccaneers secondary, so that's right there. But no, seriously, I think several things happened, right? First of all, I think Matt Nagy did a great job of scaling back some of the offensive plays and sitting down and working with Trubisky to utilize the plays and concepts that he was most comfortable with. You know, I've been saying prior to Sunday's game on our post-game show on Bears on Tap that it just looked like Trubisky was overwhelmed, that he was out there more thinking than actually reacting and playing naturally and freely. So, you know, we tend to forget this is a complex system with a high volume of plays that relies on a number of pre-snap reads and adjustments at the line of scrimmage. So it just seemed like he was being, you know, burdened by too many things to memorize in terms of after the ball snapped to him. I also think, plain and simple, I think Matt Nagy out-coached and out-schemed Tampa's defensive coordinator Mike Smith. You know, he was able to take advantage of the banked up Buck secondary. He did a good job of utilizing the improved team speed at the skill position the Bears now have. Guys like, you know, Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel, Tariq Cohen, Allen Robinson. He was able to get those guys the ball in a position where they can go ahead and then extend the play and gain yards after making the catch. So, and another element, actually a key element that I think a lot of people haven't really paid attention to was the play of the offensive line. I believe that this group as a whole had their best game of the season so far. You know, they're effective both in pass blocking as well as, you know, the run game. So while the Bucs do not appear to have a great defensive unit, we have to keep in mind that the Bucs do have two talented pass rushers in Jason Pierre-Paul and Gerald McCoy. And the O-line gave up just one sack all day. and only three quarterback hits. And there are countless plays where I had saw Trubisky back there with 6, 7, 8 seconds to get rid of the ball. So I think those are some key factors in what concluded to be a blowout win by the Bears.
And it was encouraging just to see the Bears blow out a team that they should be blowing up. That's something we haven't got to see in quite a few years. Now, as a scout, Danny, can you evaluate the play of the Bears rookies? We might not be able to do that in a couple years, seeing the fact that we gave a lot of our draft picks up. So I want you to tell me which rookie has surprised you the most in these first four games, and what can we expect to see from that rookie in the next 12?
Well, I mean, after the conclusion of the draft, I was extremely high on the Bears class, and to be honest with you, after these first four games, I think I might be even higher on the draft class. I mean, we just start off from the top with Roquan Smith. You know, after a prolonged holdout and a minor hamstring injury, he's come in and laid claim to a starting linebacker position. I think he's helped elevate the game of Danny Trevathan. You know, James Daniels, you know, is now starting to be rotated in and out in terms of at the left guard position. But the guy has really impressed me, and I just started back in the preseason and has carried out through the regular season, is fifth-round pick Bilal Nichols. I mean, the kid is just, came out of Delaware as just a raw athletic specimen. But now when you see him, you see him play, you see a player who's developing right before our eyes. You know, he has a better understanding how to gain leverage at the point of attack. He does a nice job of using his length to get linemen away from his frame. I mean, this is a kid that is just only going to get better. And even in terms of as a pass rush now, you see him, you know, he's got a swim move. He's able to, penetrate the gap real quick and even, provide a couple of tackles for losses on some run plays. So this is a kid that if you just, when you watch the Bears play, watch him specifically and see how he's basically manhandling the guy in front of him at the line of scrimmage. And like, again, this guy is still raw, still developing. It's got a chance to be a special talent down the road.
For sure, for sure. And I want to switch gears just a little bit. We got to talk about Mitch Trubisky, the toast of the town. Danny, did he do anything noticeable in his mechanics to improve his play on Sunday? Or what really led to that sudden outburst that, you know, has all the Bears fans talking that we might have found our guy here?
Well, I mean, overall, I think he did a better job with his footwork in the pocket, meaning that he followed through in his throwing motion, which allowed his downfield accuracy to improve. He was able to throw guys open, you know, lead them away from coverage. You know, on some of those throws downfield, namely the wheel routes to Cohen and a bucket throw to Allen Robinson for a touchdown, his accuracy and ball placement was just terrific. You know, like I said earlier, I think he just looked more calmer, more in control of the offense. So I think scaling back some of the plays really allowed him to go out there and just ball. You know, don't think, just play naturally and just, you know, feel, you know, free, you know, and don't have to be bogged down by thinking, oh, wait, do I go here? Do I go there? He's flat out bald.
Oh, absolutely. I think that was finally we didn't see the happy feet. We didn't see near as many of those, you know, try to run around in the pocket and do some crazy stuff kind of thing. I think we just saw a guy finally settle down within the system and play ball. Before I move on, Bears Girl, it seems like we got a lot of activity in the chat room talking about Mitchell Trubisky, huh?
We do. We got listeners in, and George Bayless wanted to share something about Trubisky. He says they have an alternate play call in the huddle for each play based on coverage alone. So not only is there a kill call, but there are alternate routes based on our snap read of man zone and the number of high safeties, etc. He said, meaning Trubisky, didn't need to call those in the huddle as Tampa stayed in zone all day.
Well, I guess that would simplify things if you know exactly going into it that you don't have to address whether it's man or zone. I guess that would simplify things, but at least, you know, I look at it this way. You make the plays you're supposed to make, finally. You don't want to see a guy who's handed something like that who should be making the plays and not make the plays. So regardless of however you look at it, you're seeing a step in the right direction. So
even when he ran this time, like when he scrambled because, you know, no one was open. And he scrambled, and he was effective scrambling. You know, he get the 10-yard gain, 17-yard gain here and there. He used his feet to keep the defense back on the heels because, you know, he is, I think, sneaky athletic. And a lot of defensive, you know, players and coordinators don't think he's that fast, but he's a pretty good athlete, and he's got some speed. So, you know, he didn't just run away because, you know, he was overwhelmed or he put his, you know, eyes down and didn't look downfield. He was running with a purpose. So I think that was also effective as well.
Effective all around. We're talking to Danny Shimon, lead NFL draft analyst at Bears Barroom here on Buffon 55. Danny, let's go on the flip side of that joy. Is there anybody who has disappointed you the most with their performance so far, and why do you think they're struggling? And furthermore, is that something that can be fixed or at least altered?
Well, I mean, the first guy that comes to mind, unfortunately, is a guy that gets picked on a lot, mainly due to his lofty draft status and lack of production, really, and that's Kevin White.
Yeah.
You know, up until this season, I've defended him. You know, I've just said, you know, a number of his injuries were just bad luck and freak injuries. However, this season, if you look at his stats, he has yet to make a reception. Heck, I'm not even sure he's even been targeted at all yet, you know, so far this season.
Made a great block.
He had a couple good blocks, yeah, but I mean, the seventh pick in the draft, I think we need more production. But, you know, some have speculated, why is he struggling? Some have said, you know, maybe, you know, he can't fully grasp the offense. You know, remember, at West Virginia, he only ran a limited route tree. You know, he's never ran a full complement, you know, NFL route tree like typical NFL receivers run today. So, you know, that might be a part of it. But, you know, I fully believe that, you know, he's a player that's lost confidence in himself. You know, those first 3 years, those injury marred years, I think really might have tested his passion for the game. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he might be one of those players who could benefit from a fresh start. You know, who could, you know, go to another team and see his career flourish. But, you know, it's really he's never, ever looked like the receiver we saw play at West Virginia. And, you know, in West Virginia, he was someone who took it to the cornerbacks. You know, he was a rare combination of size, speed, and strength. But, you know, personally, I'm rooting for the kid. I just hope he finds his game. But unfortunately, he really has. As of right now, I think he might be in jeopardy. You know, later on in the season, the Bears need a roster spot to a guy who might get cut later on in the season. That's how non-productive he's been so far.
Anybody who has listened to Buffon 55 before at any point knows my opinion on Kevin White, and I'm not gonna you know say what I think, but everybody can in unison type down in the chat room because he is my thoughts on Kevin White. But anyway, I'm not here to pick on Kevin White. The Bears are playing well. If they start losing, then I'm gonna start picking on Kevin White. But let's talk about the bye week. Let's once the Bears return from the bye and they head to Miami, what do you anticipate will be different, Danny? What can we see more of? What can we see less of?
Well, what I hope to see is a confident team that knows that if it wasn't for one bad half in Green Bay, should be undefeated today, right? So I think we started seeing prior to the bye a team that knows it, that it's very good, possibly great on defense, and a team that can play with anyone in the league. And I think they're starting to believe that. So what I'm expecting to see in the second half is the defense continue to get better, if believe it or not. And I think the offense is going to get more efficient and it's going to start to gel, you know, in terms of all the new guys, you know, coming in. Like I've always said, you know, at the midway point of the season, you're going to see this offense starting to click. And as we touched on a bit earlier, you know, the team speed on both sides of the ball really has been upgraded, you know, much so on offense. And then I think once that starts to click, we're going to see, you know, some exciting things around here. You know, I'm not going to predict 48 points a week, but you know, I think if the Bears can average between 21 and 24 points a week a game, I think with the defense they have, I think they're going to go a very, very long way down the season.
I would think so. If they can keep getting it, even if they can get a fraction of the kind of production they got out of last week, and in addition to that defense, they're going to be sitting pretty, and should excite Bears fans for sure.
They'll be scary for sure. No one's going to want to play them.
Finally, not an easy out in Chicago, but we talked about a promising rookie. We talked about a disappointing player. Now, Danny, I want you to pick one player out of this roster who you think is primed to kind of kill it after the bye week. Someone who's going to have an explosive game. You can't say Khalil Mack because that's way too easy. We've come to expect that. We all know that Khalil Mack's going to have an explosive game every game. So, who do you think is primed to break out after the bye week?
So you want a player in general or a player on offense, player in defense?
Hey, you surprised me. You want to throw two at me? Go ahead. This is it's a pretty free-flowing show. You do what you got to do.
All right, well, on offense, I think Tariq Cohen, I think what we saw versus Tampa is just a glimpse of what what Matt Nagy is going to do with him coming up, you know, down the line here. I always envisioned Tariq Cohen being utilized in the Tariq Hill kind of way. You know, a guy can hand the ball off to, you can throw a ball to, a guy can even throw passes, if you will. So I think Tariq Cohen's role is going to only expand as we go on down the line here. That's on offense. On defense, I really like the way Eddie Jackson's developing at safety. You know, he was always known as a guy who created the big plays in college, the turnovers, but we forget that he came to college to Alabama as a cornerback and converted to safety. And you can see some of his cover skills now coming out more, being utilized more on defense. And I think he's just also going to get better and better and better as the season goes on. So he has a Pro Bowl or two, I think, down. You know, as long as he stays healthy, I think Eddie Jackson's a guy who's going to make a Pro Bowl or two down the line.
And I think that that's a guy that got a lot of Bears fans excited. I think just by watching him on the field flying over the place, you're really excited to see where the future of this kid holds. Now, we're talking to Danny Shimon, lead draft analyst at Bears Barroom here on Buffon 55. Danny, before we kind of get things moving into the second half, I got to ask you, what are three things that this Bears team needs to do to consistently be watching out for as they attempt to maintain this momentum and kind of keep that first place status intact? What are three things I got to be on the lookout for?
Well, first and foremost, as the case with every team in football, you got to stay healthy, right? If this team stays healthy, especially on defense, they have a top five defensive unit right this damn day right now. You know, while the depth on the team has improved from what it's been in the past years, you know, they really cannot stand a prolonged absence or an injury to one of their main players. So that's the main important thing is health, right? The other thing is, this is the year of the quarterback, so we got to get the continued development of Trubisky. You know, Nagy's continued, to place him. He's got to continue to place him in a position where he can excel and succeed. You know, maybe, you know, like we said earlier, he scaled back some of the plays, got him more comfortable. You know, all of a sudden we saw an explosion on offense, you know, six touchdown passes. You know, I'm not saying he's going to, you know, throw that every week, but, you know, get him comfortable, get him out of the pocket, you know, roll him out. You know, he's, believe it or not, he's more accurate outside the pocket than he is in the pocket. So, you know, that's going to be key for this team going on, you know, further down the line here this season. And the third thing is utilize the run game more. You know, I think for all this creativity, I think Matt Nagy gets a bit too cute in certain moments. And some of the things that really bugs me is like third and one, you know, he'll do the screen shovel pass or he'll do a double option, stretch option outside toss. I'm like, dude, you have a workhorse running back in Jordan Howard. You have, you know, an offensive line on the right side with Kyle Long and Bobby Massey that can move guys at the point of attack, hand the ball off, get the 1 yard, keep the chains moving. Don't get too cute, too fancy. I just think that the run game has not been utilized to its fullest effectiveness, I should say. So I think if he incorporates that, it's another way where he could help bring along his quarterback, you know, take some of the pressure off him, and also help get those defensive players on the sidelines sitting and resting as he keeps, you know, pounding the rock and moving the chains down, you know, moving the ball down the field and keep moving the chains down, getting first down. So health, continued development of Trubisky, and utilizing the run game more, I think, are key for the Bears.
One thing's for sure, Jordan Howard's going to have fresh legs going into the playoffs if that happens to occur.
He's starting to get a little frisky too. He's not happy with his role in the offense either.
Well, that's understandable. I mean, he's a workout. He's used to being the workhorse running back, and all of a sudden now he's just kind of a luxury. So we'll see how the rest of the season works out. But Danny, thank you so much for being our special guest tonight. I know you're going to stick around as Bears Girl and I head into the second half. So grab a seat, enjoy the show. We appreciate you coming on.
Anytime, man. Anytime. Thank you.
All right, Bears Girl, halftime. You know what that means. It's time to get into the third and fourth quarter of this show. For anyone who's just joining us for the first time, where the hell you been? But anyway, Bears Girl, explain to us how the show works.
Let's remind our listeners how this part of the show works. I'm going to ask you five Chicago Bears related questions, and you have all of 55 seconds to respond. Why 55? That's the number your uncle Doug Buffon wore during his 15 seasons with the Chicago Bears. At the end of those 55 seconds, you're going to hear this whistle, at which time you can start to wind up your response. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, question number one, John, how do you see this NFC North divisional matchup this weekend between those lowly Lions and the up-and-down Packers? If the Bears have to share first place, do you think it's a big deal? Your 55 seconds start now.
Listen, the way I look at it, you root against the Packers every week until they are officially eliminated. Sharing first place is not first place. The Packers won the head-to-head week one. As nauseating as that game was, it's a fact. The more distance between Green Bay and the Bears, the better. We can talk about my level of concern with the Vikings later, but the Packers are the Bears' bugaboo right now. So as weird as it may seem, you got to put your energy into rooting for the Lions this week, who did beat New England, by the way. That game is in Detroit. We'll see if the good Lions show up or the bad Lions show up that got throttled by the Jets week one. And keep the rest of the division mediocre and at the bottom. A Green Bay loss would put them at 2-2-1, and the Bears could could start, dare I say, a multiple game lead in the division. Can you believe we're actually talking about this? By the way, a loss for Detroit would put them at 1-4, and for all intents and purposes would put them out of the division race. The Vikings, if they lose, they would be at 1-2-1, and they have a hard game against Philadelphia this week. So on the Bears' bye week, they could have one loss, the Packers could have two and a tie, the Vikings two and a tie, and the Lions could have three. How about that? So we're quasi-Lions fans this week.
And I got a bunch of Lions fans at work, and I am loving this season. Question number two. Many are using the hashtag and slogan that 18 is the new 85 and are asking fans to let go of the past and commit to this new team, new coaching staff, and this new era of Bears football. Others are still cautiously optimistic and weary if this is merely a fluke, and they need to see more evidence that the Bears are really back. Where do you fall on that spectrum and why? You're now on the clock.
Let's pump the brakes just a tad. I'd say I'm very optimistic in an excited way. It's like, you know when you get out of a bad relationship and you're super pessimistic about everything, and then out of nowhere here comes this bombshell and you're like, is this really real? Am I letting myself open to disappointment again? That's kind of where I am with the Bears. I'm ready to take the plunge. I'm opening myself back up, and I'm ready to believe in something again, and that's exciting. But let's not call them the 85 Bears, because even though I wasn't alive for the 85 Bears, I gather that most people thought that they were the best team in the NFL, or at least one of the top teams in the NFL, and it's hard to make a case for the Bears that they're the best team in the league right now. So I don't think they're a fluke. I think what we saw last week was a peek at what this team can be, but for years, this team hasn't had a face, and now you can say that they have a face with Khalil Mack. It has an identity now. Khalil Mack, regardless of what you think about the trade, just gave the Chicago Bears a real identity. They're a tough, stingy, aggressive defense that turns the ball over, and the offense is on its way up. So to round this out, open up your heart, Bears fans. It's time to love again.
And the Barflies in the chat room are agreeing with you that it is way too early to say 18 is the new 85, but Harp4803 is saying and suggesting that maybe 18 is the new 06.
Well, 06 was a pretty good year, too.
Question number three. All right, John, we got some statement games coming up against some really good teams. With which four upcoming games are you most worried about, and what do the Bears need to do to win those key matches? You've got 55 seconds. And that clock starts now.
Let's go through these real quick. Week 7, the Patriots. Let's see how the Bears line up against a dynasty. Sure, the Patriots aren't looking what they looked like in the past years, but they're going to have Edelman back. Josh Gordon will be more comfortable in the system. Gronk is still there, and they might have found something in Sony Michel at running back. You can't crap your pants against traditional powerhouses if you want to be a real team. Week 11 against the Vikings. That's the division favorite, a Super Bowl contender. If you believe in the Bears as a real contender, they have to beat the best in the division. They're going to start by hosting a high-powered Vikings team with Stephon Diggs, Thielen, Cook, and Cousins. Get hyped for that home game. Also, week 14 against LA at home. Same thing. LA and Chicago have been battling for the title of best defense in the league. LA's offense is crazy good. You want to believe in the Bears? Let's see it against a team like LA. And then week 15, hosting the Green Bay Packers. You have got to show everyone that week 1 was a fluke. That's because Mack and Roquan Smith weren't up to speed. The defense ran out of gas. Mitch was still learning the system. They didn't score enough points. We got to prove that if that would have happened midseason, the Bears would have slammed the door shut. Well, it'll be week 15, and maybe there are some playoff implications with this game, and you're at home, and the Packers are coming in. I don't even care what the records are. You have to win this game for the playoffs, for the division, for the culture. You want to really show everyone that this is a new Bears squad? Beat the Packers late in the season, and let them know that the changing of the guard starts in 2018 in the NFC North. So those aren't games that I'm necessarily worried about. Those are four games that I think that they need to go and prove themselves in to show that they're not just a joke in the NFL, and this isn't just some, you know, blip that the Bears are all of a sudden putting up good stats.
Under the whistle, look at that.
Question number four.
People are saying this is actually like being listening and taking some Red Bull. This is one of their favorite parts of the show. Question number four. Let's give away some Buffonies, or as we like to refer to them, the quarter season awards. I'm going to give you three categories, and I'd like for you to reveal to our listeners who your winners are. Category one is Best Defensive Play by Khalil Mack. Category two is Favorite TD Pass from Trubisky. And category three is Offensive Play That Got You Cheering the Most. You've got 55 seconds. Go.
Best defensive play by Khalil Mack. I'll go with week one, the strip sack on Brett Hundley. Basically runs through his blocker and just steals the dude's lunch money and kills a drive in the red zone. That was a welcome to Chicago moment. And Mack doesn't really have a problem with roughing the passer calls, in case you hadn't noticed, because he goes for the ball. Number two, favorite touchdown from Trubisky. I'm going to go with his second touchdown last week, his 14-yard pass to Allen Robinson. Felt some pressure, didn't have happy feet, didn't do his blind spin move to the outside. Had Jordan Howard actually open underneath, but he sees Robinson going to the corner and drops an absolute down in the end zone. Those are the kind of throws we know he can make, and it was just a real promising thing to say. As far as number three, the offensive play that got me cheering the most, that freaking Willy Wonka package that has Chase Daniels in with Mitch Trubisky. All you idiots that said you wanted Chase Daniel to be the quarterback for the team and you wanted him on the field, well, you got your wish, but unfortunately for you, he was a decoy to shovel it to Taylor Gabriel for a touchdown. A fake read option to Chase Daniel? Are you serious? What is this offense? When it's working, it's so fun to watch, and it's even more fun to cheer for, because it's like being at the circus. You have no idea what's coming next. I love it. Sometimes Nagy does outsmart himself, but man, is it fun to watch.
And question number five. Final question, John, which is actually more of a challenge. Last week, you acted as the new owners of the Bears and gave a resonating, passionate, and truly effective speech to that team, because I'm pretty darn sure they heard it played in the locker room, and it worked. You've now been given the visor, the headset, and the playbook. You are now Coach Buffon. Give this team a speech that is focused on them not letting up during this bye week. Your speech starts now.
I'm wearing that visor to the side and upside down, by the way. All right, fellas, listen, I'm back. Hope you're enjoying your week off. Take some time to recharge the batteries. But listen, we haven't won anything yet. Nobody's ever gotten a ring for going 3-1. They don't raise a 3-1 banner in any stadium. There are a lot of teams out there to think you're lucky. They think your record doesn't reflect who you really are as a team. I'm tired of people not taking us seriously. And the only way to stop that is to come out of the bye week, fly to Miami, and roll over the Dolphins. This is not the same old Bears. This team knows how to finish. This team knows how to dominate, and this team does not get complacent. Take this week to remember that you haven't done crap yet in 2018. Take this week to realize that a lot of people still think you're a joke. And take this week to get pissed off enough that when you step foot in Miami, you aren't leaving without a win and leaving somebody black and blue. The Chicago Bears don't rest on their laurels anymore. The Chicago Bears feed on wins. They feed on opposing quarterbacks. The Chicago Bears feed on success. So hibernate this week, gentlemen. Next week, we eat.
Wow. I think we need to send that recording over to Hallis Hall and have them play it at practice.
Bye weeks can be just as intense. Bye weeks can be just as intense as anything else. I'm ready to feed on the bye week, because so much can happen. The Packers lose. The Vikings could lose. The Lions, who cares what happens there? I mean, I'm excited just to watch these teams lose, because I don't have to worry about the Bears losing. I can just hang out and watch the rest of them lose. So, but before we go out, Danny, you have any thoughts you'd like to add to this team to help them stay focused and dedicated during the bye week? I know you're still there.
Man, I mean, you just said it perfectly, man. I'm ready to go on some stairs right now. I'm pumped up. Let's go. But no, in all seriousness, I mean, I think Trey Byrne said it best after the game. He said, you know, 1 year with Philadelphia, they were 3-1, and after the bye, they went like, I don't know, 2-12 or 3-something. But you know, you just got to stay focused, like you said. You know, they haven't won anything yet. They're 3-1. They're in first place in the division. They haven't been here in a long time. You know, let's not get over bloated or high heads whatnot. Let's go back out there and let's continue to, you know, to play that we were playing prior to the bye. You know, play good solid defense. It gets enough points on offense to win the game. You know, people say, oh, ugly win, blah blah. Just get a win. Doesn't matter. Any win in this league is a pretty win, because it's so hard to win, especially hard to stack wins back to back to back. So just continue on the roll. Just continue to stack wins. And if you break them down by quarters, continue winning your quarters, and you should be fine.
No doubt. Just keep winning. And before we wrap up, I got to ask you, Danny, what's your season prediction for the Bears? Has it changed since the season started? Also, before you get out of here, I'll tell our listeners where they can find you online.
I can be found at dshimon56. At dshimon56 is my Twitter handle. And before this, well, I've had three predictions, right? So before the Khalil Mack trade, I had him going 7-9, 8-8. After the Khalil Mack trade, I gave him two extra victories, so I'm like 9-7, you know, contending for a possible wild card spot. Now, after seeing how they're gelling on defense and the possibilities on offense, I mean, I think they can go with 10-6, and I think they can compete and actually win the division this year.
Oh, man. I'm sure Bears fans and Barflies like to hear that one. Give this guy a follow. He knows his stuff. Danny, thanks for so much for being on today. Also,
my pleasure.
This episode of Buffon 55 will be on your podcast stream first thing Thursday morning. Make sure you share it with your friends and give us a review on any of the delivery services you get your podcast from. We're on all of them: iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, FarmersOnly.com, Ask Jeeves. I think we're on Ham Radio. You name it. All you have to do is search for Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're going to pop up. Bears Girl, we got through another one. How you holding up?
I am doing great, and I want to let our listeners know that they should go check out an article on bearsbarroom.com while they're waiting for this podcast to be released on Magic Mitch. And that was written by Aldo Gandia with artwork by our new artist, Curtis Hemenday.
Awesome, awesome. Make sure you buy a Buffon hoodie, take a picture of it, we'll put it all over the internet. We'll make you famous. How's that sound? Well, that's going to wrap up another edition of Buffon 55. For Bears Girl, I'm John Buffon. Have a great bye weekend, everybody. Enjoy football. Stress-free. Bear down.